It's a very good afternoon, good evening, Sanbonani Dumelanga Msheni, Molweni, bonjour. Welcome to Umtsholo and Sex Podcast, wherever you are streaming us across the globe. We welcome you to the biggest and fastly the most growing platform on this side of the equator. Here speaking is your boy, Mlungisi Mpela, the most handsome 31-year-old on this side of the equator, the most handsome guy in a cheese cop. I'm lazy to cut my hair these days because it is cold. But yeah, I'm still the most handsome guy in a cheese cop. Roll with the butterflies. I blom with the beehives. I blom with the bees. And part of the beehive is, yo, the queen bee. Not Bonang in this case, but ever beautiful, shining, glowing. Too many adjectives even today. Uskumi, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Had a good week?
Yeah.
That's good.
Despite a few challenges, yeah. It was overall.
As long as we survive, guys, I understand. Socio-politically, there's a lot that's happening, but yeah. I hope our sun landers as far as the bedroom and as far as all things spicy is concerned. There are no restrictions as far as that is concerned. But another place we definitely don't have restrictions to is our social media platforms. We will again share them later on. Siyathanda ukuthi manixhumane nathi, ni interact nathi, and tell us what you think about all our topics. Today is no different. But I have a feeling today is a bit explicit. If you get what I mean. What are we chatting about today?
It's not even that explicit. But today we are going to try to unpack the impact that porn has on relationships.
Okay.
There are a lot of us who watch porn and are in relationships. So, and some people end up getting addicted. Mm-hmm. You know, even though unalimoto and all of that. So we just want to understand the impact that this can potentially have on your relationship.
I see. So we're talking, they used to call them blue movies when I grew up. Yeah, they used to call them blue movies. If you are old enough to remember ETV days, 12 midnight. Endowed your senses. If you remember the days of channel 106 when DSTV just started, also right about 12 o'clock, it used to be that. But my word, from that to where we are now, pornography or porn has become such a topic as far as relationships are concerned. But to help us unpack this and much, much more, we have our resident psychologist, the most fabulous guy. He's getting closer to the most handsome guys. Getting very close nowadays. He's getting a lot of love on our social media platforms for his insights and just his overall aura as far as a psychologist is concerned. JP Mueller, welcome to Mtsholo and Sex Podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much, Boo. How are you?
We're fantastic, JP. How are you?
Like a very well thing. Thank you, me.
Hi, JP.
Yeah.
We're chilling.
Like villains. Okay. We're chilling. JP, we're talking porn and its effects in relationships. JP, I purposefully started with something of a nostalgia sort of type of thing, where if you remember back then, us as children, we probably used to it was maybe a curiosity sort of thing. We started sort of consuming pornography then. I was suspended in high school for bringing a X-rated magazine to the classroom.
Yeah.
Long story. Those who are at Holy Family College will attest to that. But it has always been a curiosity more than anything as far as that is concerned. But fast forward now, Pornhub tells us that they are receiving massive numbers in terms of streaming, in terms of people consuming pornography is concerned. Before we delve into the nitty-gritties, JP, of this topic, do you think pornography then and now, people are consuming it differently? And maybe then as we begin the conversation, is it then shaping the way we then interact in our relationships? Because, hence I said earlier, it used to be just for curiosity's sake. But now it has just psychologically gone even further.
Yeah, that is so true. So I'll tell you, especially if you're a teenager, what happens in your brain, but currently approximately 11,000 adult films are released every year.
Sure.
And then the most searched word on internet currently is the word sex. So they say about 87% of university students say that they had sex over webcams or phones already. So, yeah, it's very interesting. But to look at all the things that happen, yes, people start off out of curiosity and to learn something from it. And it's not the best way to learn something from because it is scenes. It is a movie. It is set. It is copy and paste. It is not what real sex in real life is.
Yeah.
So what happens now is then the brain changes. And especially if you're younger, your neuroplasticity is higher. So how the brain changes and forms. It's at its biggest. But exposure to sexual culture causes boys and girls to become consumers of people. So it puts them on a path towards distorted love and disrespect for others. It also makes them become consumption or consumers rather than have a connection with someone.
Sure.
So now if we look at the dopamine in the brain, and that dopamine can be a good thing.
Yeah.
But now, when we do it through pornography, we see a type of a fake scenario. And this actually leaves us later have other triggers and problems. They say people who have a hypersexual view on the world, and they actually have double a chance to actually have divorces later in life.
Yes, JP, I wanted to touch on that. I mean, I think it was MediHealth magazine that actually stipulated they calculated it over 2,000 couples that were married. Apparently, more people who watch porn as couples get divorced later on in their marriage versus people who just watch it casually as singletons. Is that what you're alluding to say that it might not have the initial impact now, but as the relationship continues to grow and nurture, it then tends to have that particular implications later on?
Definitely. They say it's like they are less happy in the relationship. They have a lower self-esteem because porn is a fantasy and they do not live up to those standards. Then they lie to each other, so because they want to hide it from the other one. And then at the end of the day, the trust is going away in the relationship. They have less intimacy, less commitment, less satisfaction in the relationship. And yes, all of these things can then later lead to divorces, as you said.
Would you then, JP, say that sex builds up unrealistic expectations? That if a man watches porn and he sees whatever he sees, he then expects his partner to be able to perform the same thing or be willing to?
Yes, definitely. And there's a lot of other things that also come with this. So they say actually that porn may actually also literally shrink your brain. Was in a study that was published by JAMA Psychiatry Journal.
Yeah, you and me both.
So the brain releases this dopamine, but it's for a synthetic type of sex. So it's a driven dopamine. And then the individual loses their own worth. And also, they don't want to invest in a loving relationship anymore.
Sure.
Because they get the stimulation from this video. So then actually less gray matter in your brain. And reactivity in this striatum, a part of the brain related to your reward system, because you see everything is now visual and done by your senses, but you do not get the physical touch and interaction as you do in the relationship. So all of these things have lead to promiscuity, sexual aggressive behaviors, sexual permissive behaviors, jealousy coming in later. Girls tend to be uniquely drawn to underlying explicit fantasies of sexual images, boys drawn to the pictures, the excitement, novelty of video content, and they want a girl to be like that, to dress like that, to be like the characters that act on a screen. And we know that's not what it really is in real life.
JP, woo, you, my goodness. JP, are we, we were speaking to the owner of G-Spot. It's a sex shop in Soweto.
Yes.
And she touched on things that are stimulus or stimulations, like sex toys and she, when we spoke about sex, when we spoke about pornography or porn, she then said it should be a stimulus or a stimulating activity towards sex. Do you think is that what we're getting wrong? Because we move from that, from actually using that as a stimulation, to now sort of now creating this imagination now in our heads to say sex needs to be this, and we govern and we measure sex to be that. If I watch this movie and I want somebody to make me squirt or come to this effect.
Yes, definitely. So there was a study now in 2019 that says with stronger sexual response in men and stronger desire for I or L sex with a partner because of pornography. And it actually even helped people with erectile dysfunction and induced delayed ejaculation for some people. But for other people, again, it makes this fantasy in the head and then they come faster again, so they climax faster. So it depends on the study you look at and the person you look at. But it can be healthy, it can be harm-free. It can help a person's sex life if it is regulated and controlled, if it doesn't consume them.
Yeah.
Especially people in a single relationship. I mean, it's great, especially with Corona now. You don't infect other people. Women seem to see porn as more like a foreplay. But then also people who usually watch pornography and then they climax to that, then they don't want more sex with their partners. And this can, again, cause some trouble. So it's just that the communication in a relationship is very, very important. Otherwise, it can lead to a lot of problems in a relationship.
Sure. Okay.
JP, I think it's time we address the elephant in the room.
Well, I don't see any elephants.
I think it's time to look at the elephant in the room. Okay, if hypothetically speaking, I have a partner who watches a lot of porn, you know, I do not want to use the word addicted, but rather consumes a lot of porn. Is this considered cheating?
Okay, so for some ladies, the study said that they feel it is as traumatic as cheating, yes. Because they feel that the guy is not happy with them. So, it depends on person to person and the values that you have and the view you have on pornography. So, on the one side, it says it can help people with erectile dysfunction. But on the other side, it says it can cause erectile dysfunction. So, it depends on what study you look at. But, yes, definitely, some ladies say it brings love deficits, emotionally detached from their partners, the vulnerability is removed in pornography, and that makes it too simplistic to produce the security and bonding that are a significant part of a physical interaction of a couple. So, yes, unfortunately, it is. And they say healthy relationships are built on trust, where porn is like an unrealistic portrait in people's minds. It is not that trusting relationship. So, yes, it can definitely be a driver in making relationships worse or twice as likely to be divorced. And that study that you were talking about earlier of 2,000 couples was done by the University of Oklahoma.
Yes. JP, I think finally two compounded questions. Firstly, how do we find a balance? Because you alluded to there are benefits to it. Some people with erectile dysfunctions then use it as a stimulus and it works. So how can couples find the right balance as far as that is concerned? But before you answer that question, I think the burning question would be, how do we know if somebody's addicted to porn? Because I in my program notes, I saw it's very difficult. One article said it's difficult because it's more psychological. So it's not apparent like any other addiction is. So it's more psychological pattern. So how do we look, extrapolate them, and finally how do we draw a good balance between ensuring that we use pornography as a stimulus versus then it being borderline an addiction?
Yes, so definitely when it's an addiction, it influences the rest of your daily function. So if you do not talk to your partner at night because you have to go and watch porn, You cannot sit and focus and concentrate on your work because you need to go and watch porn and want to release and to climax and to get that satisfaction of what the porn must give you. You cannot eat and drink normally because you rather want to watch porn than to actually make yourself food or talk to a friend or interact with others.
Yeah.
So then you know it's an addiction. And if you work with addiction and with group therapy especially, pornography is the toughest one to get through, to work through, because, yes, it is a brain. It actually has a stimulus on the brain, and it uses all your senses. Where, for example, all the other addictions doesn't have all your senses involved.
Okay.
But this is a visual stimuli. It is a brain stimuli. You hear it. You imagine it. It goes internal. So it has a far deeper effect.
Wow, so it's really easy to become addicted.
It is.
If you really got,
yeah,
the problem is,
sorry, JP,
normalizing sexual violence then, because people see there's unrealistic expectations, and then it normalizes sexual violence, because that's what they see in some of these videos, and they want to have sex without any boundaries. I mean, those people are on pills, so their bodies look different. They cannot always have kids because of all the steroids and things they take. So they're sterile. They reshot these things. They copy and paste some of the footage from different angles. So it really is unrealistic. And then you want to master that. And you can't. So if you have a problem with pornography and you think your partner has, start your conversation right. So you can start off with talking about general things like, do you want steak for dinner or whatever? And later you can say, so, are you like into having a porn conversation with me tonight? Can we talk about this? When you do that, leave your judgment at the door.
Yep.
Ask some questions. So ask them like, what do they like about porn? Find out, can't they use something else that also can give them the stimulus? Like, for example, the toys and so on. And also your own feelings. So take time to see what do you think? What bothers you about your partner watching porn? Why is your partner watching porn? How's your shared sex life going? And could it go better? And maybe how and why? So when you talk about these things and your attitude from you and your partner can go from guilt and not to anger and betrayal, but rather go to understanding, and that it's not taking away your sexual connection. It's not social isolation. It's not creating, because porn doesn't inspire goal setting. So a lot of people actually have lower goals because of this, because they don't follow their goals, they rather watch some porn. And that is the problem. Then it is an addiction, then it becomes bad for you. And then also this unrealistic expectation of your spouse, and then you're let down by them, and then you would want it from someone else because maybe they can give it to you, like the other people in the videos.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a problem. So
yeah.
Speak about these things, know how you feel about it, but porn isn't worth it. Do yourself a favor and consider the fact it could be hindering you from living your life to the fullest because it stops people from achieving their goals. And this was written by Dr. David Luden, that did a study on pornography and the effect on relationships.
Sure.
One last question, JP.
Yes.
How then, if possible, can couples broach the subject of watching porn together, introducing that into the relationship, if perhaps they want to spice things up?
Definitely you can, but there's also other ways to spice it up. Like, for example, to look at Kama Sutra books, meditate together, to use toys, because we know that ladies sometimes take longer to climax or than guys and these things. So, yes, maybe you can interact and say, okay, but how can we do it more simultaneously? How can we reach climax at the same time? What can we do together to spice up our sex life? I mean, you can do role play, for example, in a safe way. And there's actually bondage training by some sexologists that shows you how you can tie someone up, but they have the control over how tight the ropes are so that they can themselves release it. So it's not a you are captured, you are still loose, but you can still have role play like that in a safe manner. So there is a lot of things that you can do to spice it up in a different way, but without watching pornography and just thinking that that is the reality, that is how it is in real life.
JP, I don't need to wear 50 Shades of Grey to understand that we are living in the Sex and the City. Yo, Lou. but thank you, JP. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your amazing insights. I hope everybody took something from this. And remember, I quoted those two creatively, purposefully, because television is a great contributor to the world we then depict as far as sex is concerned. So we need to understand the whole conversation was around how to draw the line between normality and the idealistic and the created world. Thank you so much, JP.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, guys. It's an honor to be on the show.
Thank you so much. Keep safe and hope to chat soon again.
Thanks, you too. Have a great day.
Cheers, JP. Guys, I think that was absolutely informative. I think it was eye-opening. It's funny, you know, it's the little things. My mom always says it's the little things that have the greatest impact. I was stunned to then find out that consuming porn can actually shrink one's brain.
I know, right?
Good Lord!
Oh yeah, no, I'm scared for my brain.
Look. My greatest takeaway here, and I said it when we bidded JP farewell, was, guys, we need to understand, like any addiction, any alcohol, whatever addiction you have, the minute it starts consuming your normal day-to-day productivity, it's alarm bells. The minute you don't want to do certain things, the minute you don't want to do what you have to do because you're doing something you're not supposed to do, it's problematic.
Yeah. And I think also with a lot of people, you find themselves, find themselves now watching porn at work.
Yep. We did an article about it. Yep.
On public transport.
Yep.
You know, like just the most unusual and random places. Like, what?
Yeah. Last episode, you talked about having sex at church. There's people who consume porn in church. So it becomes, and hence I said, it becomes very sort of problematic to address it, because it doesn't, not like alcohol where you can see, oh, these are the ramifications, but it's more psychological. And when we talk mental health, partly allow me to also then call it as part of mental health issues that we probably don't get time to talk to, and maybe couples need to, as JP said, approach it and leave the judgment at the door.
Yeah, and we're not saying do not, you know, but be wary of the amount of porn you consume and the amount of time you spend consuming.
And for what?
You know, exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if your girl is out of town or your man is away and you just want to, it's a stress kancane, we understand. You know, we've all done it. But if it now becomes something that you do on the regular...
Guys, yeah. get help. Get help as soon as possible. One thing you don't need to get help on, because Khoshumi always helps you navigate to, is our social media platforms.
Oh, yes, we are not sanitized on our social media.
No, guys. And luckily, the corona does not exist there. Yes. So you can just enter as much as you can. Khoshumi, where can people interact with us?
They can find us on Twitter.
Yes.
Daily Sun SA.
Mm-hmm.
Or on Facebook. Daily Sun,
mm-hmm.
or alternatively at our forever home, which is www.dailysun.co.za.
/Mjolo, and you can get to see this and many other podcasts that we've had. Once again, a big thank you to JP. Big thank you to you for listening to us. And yeah, we do this for you. It's for you, by you, and we hope that you can continue to follow the show.
Like Lou said when this episode started, if you remember those movies that used to be played at 12 midnight, you need to register to get vaccinated.
I love it. My word.
Register to get vaccinated.
My goodness gracious. Guys, yes, let's while everybody is queuing to wait for our cupcake, aka president, to open for the alcohol, can we also cue with that enthusiasm to get vaccinated, people? Another thing that we need to cue for, and not mind queuing for, is making sure that we play safe and queuing for those condoms. Guys, as Oshumi says, guys, it's that silly season. Guys, keep it strapped, keep it tight, keep it locked. We are fighting so many things as currently. Please, can we not fight the other pandemic and other diseases as well? Please.
No. We have a lot on our plate as a country.
Yes. Can that not be also part and parcel of our plate as well? But sorry, once again, big thank you to you. Big thank you to everyone for consuming. And when you see me, which is going to be very soon, in the streets, know me. I am Mu Mlungisi Mpela, the most handsome 31-year-old on the side of the equator, the most handsome guy in the cheese cop, like Muhammad Ali's protege. I roll like a butterfly and buzz more and blom with more bees than a beehive.
And I am Romy Siabi. I still don't have an outro. Mara. When the next time I talk to you, I'll be vaccinated.
Lalela. Yeah. And to show that she will, she doesn't even have the bangles, ne? The bangles are just on.
Born, like, I'm ready.
You left even the bangles.
I left everything, like, I'm ready.
I'm. It simply shows, Jorge, I'm probably the next one in the queue.
We shall see.
Yeah, I'm next one in the queue. We're waiting for our turn. Yeah. And remember, guys, like Os Homie says, whatever you do, guys, never, ever, ever, ever forget.
Be kind to one another, guys.
Never forget, guys.
Yeah.
We're living in tough times. Always be kind to one another. Sharp, sharp.